Some of the sayings of Jesus have become known as hard sayings. In some cases, this is because they're hard to understand. He said that his followers must hate father and mother and other family members and even their own lives. He said that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And after he said that, many just left him. It was too much to grasp. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" But Jesus said, "These words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." There was something special about these hard sayings which made them particularly powerful. Some of his sayings are said to be hard because they're so easy to understand. Do you remember he said to one young man, "Just go and sell. You just need to go and sell everything you got and give it all to the poor." That young man had no difficulty in understanding what Jesus was saying. It was doing it that was the problem. Today, I'd like us just to consider some words of Jesus which are hard on both counts. They're hard to understand, and then when we just get a glimmering of what they might mean, they're very hard to do. But if we can set our minds to do both, we will find that they contain the key to being sure that we are in God's will for our lives. So if we ask ourselves, do we know this? Do I know that I'm really in God's will and experiencing real joy and satisfaction in that? If we don't have that knowledge, then maybe we'll find the answer here. You remember once Jesus had asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" There were a number of answers, but when the Lord threw that question back to them and said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter came out with his great declaration, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They'd been with Jesus long enough now to be absolutely certain that he was the long-expected Messiah for their nation. What they were less sure about was what they should expect of their Messiah. Now he'd come, what should they expect him to do? Would he take over the leadership of the nation? Would he free them from Roman oppression? Well, Jesus had some pretty hard truths to tell them about his role and about what would be expected of them. Let's pick it up from Matthew chapter 16.
Norman?
Yes?
You're rubbing against your microphone somewhere.
Oh, is it?
It's coming through. I don't know if you can.
Shall I try somewhere else? Oh, it's dry. It does happen from time to time. Let me click it in again. Right, is that okay now? Is it still rubbing?
No.
Okay. Give me a shout if it drops out again. So we're going to pick it up at Matthew chapter 16, if we could have the next slide, Donald. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. And the words I'd like to focus on this morning are at the top of the screen there. Jesus had told them the hard things about to happen to him, but here he tells them of hard things that would be required of them. What's our reaction to these words? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What do we understand by that? What does it mean to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him? To lose our life in order to gain it. What do those words mean? Some people look at hardships in their life and they say, these are just some of the crosses I have to bear. That's not the meaning. Jesus is not referring here to the misfortunes which befall us in life. He is speaking of things which we deny ourselves. And to take up our cross must refer to some real self-imposed sacrifice in our lives. It's clearly more than just giving up cream cakes for Lent. It means losing our life in order to gain it. Perhaps these ideas bring to mind some people that we may have known or we've heard of or perhaps read of who have led deeply sacrificial lives. I'm sure we all know some such people. And maybe we're feeling, well, perhaps they understood this, but I'm just not made of that kind of stuff. Paul tells us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. But maybe we say to ourselves, well, he was a very special person. He was called by Jesus to a major role in building the church. And so to perhaps others we know of are just a different class of Christian to us. We're a much humbler kind. Maybe we can only expect to live at a much lower level of spirituality. Trouble is, that doesn't actually square with what Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, he says, if anyone, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He makes no distinction between different classes of Christian. He must be referring to the likes of us. We're all included. This teaching must be for all Christians. It's even clearer in Luke's account. If you read it there, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be. Well, this idea of hatred of brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and so on, our own lives, that's just a Jewish way of emphasizing the extreme contrast between our relation with God and our loved ones. But more importantly for this morning, what does it mean to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus? What does that really mean? He is not here just separating two grades of Christian. Without this, we're not his disciples at all. It's as serious as that. We do need to understand exactly what Jesus meant here. Well, reference to the cross must obviously direct us to the way that Jesus died. It cannot mean that we all have to be martyred, obviously. It has meant that for many throughout the history of the church. Right from the very first century of the Christian era, Christians have been martyred. And in those early days, it was a terrific thing. The Romans seem to be feeling there's no limit to the depths of depravity to which they would sink in order to provide entertainment. It's a bit like television today. And so throwing Christians into an arena and following that up with a few hungry lions, that was their idea of entertainment. People are dying for their faith even today, maybe in different ways, but they're still dying for their faith. But clearly, not all. The key to understanding the meaning lies in an extra word that Luke includes in his account of these words. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." The extra word daily implies that taking up our cross is something we build into our everyday life. It cannot refer literally to martyrdom. The most dedicated Christian can't be martyred every day. So what does it mean to take up our cross daily? Well, clearly the Lord is using picture language here. And to understand it, we must look carefully at his approach to the cross, what it meant for him, and see how that can become the pattern for our lives each day. Well, let's look first at the deeply personal exchange between him and his father at Gethsemane. Just see how he prayed. He began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And a third time, he prayed the same thing. Jesus was a human being, tempted in every way as we are. He contemplated the suffering facing him in that brutal form of execution. And his human nature recoiled from it. He didn't want to go through with it any more than we would. "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me," he said. "But not my will, but yours be done." That was the way of the cross for him. And we need to see how this pattern can be carried over into our daily lives. Each day, as we contemplate what lies before us, we will often find that there are things which are hard to face up to. "Lord, there's this task you seem to be setting before me, but I really can't face it. I just don't want to do it." So what do? We can please ourselves, go our own way, or we can deny ourselves and say, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's the way of the cross in ordinary life. That's how we deny ourselves. This is the way in which we lose our lives of selfishness and pleasing ourselves. This is what lies at the heart of Christian experience. People can be misled. It's possible for people to do lots of things which appear to be Christian service, but actually they're just pleasing themselves. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. It's not enough for people to say that they've done lots of Christian things. They need to have done the will of the Father. And that will often mean saying no to self. If they've not understood and chosen to do the will of the Father in their own personal lives at the expense of their own selfish will, they haven't found the way of the cross. When the Lord spoke these words to Peter, he didn't know that way. Peter said that these things would never happen, and he was ready to die for Jesus. Yet when confronted by a servant, three times he denied any involvement with Jesus. He was fearful of the consequences for himself. He chose to look after himself. What a change took place after Pentecost. The Lord had prophesied that he too would be crucified. He, Peter, would be crucified. And tradition holds that when the time came, he said that he wasn't worthy to die like his master. And so he was crucified upside down. I'm okay. Yes, he said he wasn't worthy to die like his master, and so he was crucified upside down. He had truly learned the way of the cross. But it was only as he was enabled by the Spirit. This was after Pentecost. He was now a very different Peter to the man who had been frightened by a servant maid. So, in really practical terms, what does it mean for us? We've got to take care that we don't assume that anything enjoyable is part of the self-life and must be denied. I've felt that in some occasions some people have taken that sort of view. The scripture tells us that God has given us many things in this world to be richly enjoyed. To deny ourselves these would be a travesty of the Christian life. And equally, we mustn't assume that everything God wants us to do will be unpleasant. So how do we live this way of the cross in everyday life? Well, we need to be still before God, to sense his presence, to be ready to do real business with him and ask him, what are you setting before me in my life? What's your plan for my life, Lord? Have I sidelined anything because I don't want to do it? Am I ready to say, not my will, but yours be done? This is the way of the cross in everyday life. And we can live it out only in the power of the Spirit. We may well feel that such a way of living is beyond us. We may be thinking, well, I know these things, but I simply fail to live up to them. Lord, there's this guy you've sent into my life, and I really can't get on with him. He's so unpleasant, I feel like giving him a piece of my mind. And yet you tell me I've got to love him. I just haven't got it in me to do that. Well, it's good that we feel that way over certain things in life, because it's true. We haven't got it in us. And we need to remind ourselves of what Paul told the church at Philippi. He said, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. As we sense the presence of the Spirit, we will become aware of his work in us, giving us both the will and the power to live this way. And it will become our daily experience even in the little things that make up our lives moment by moment. Our eyes may well be open to the need for changes of attitude. We may need deep repentance for long-held views. But God will give us the will and the power if we wait on him. Well, we might be thinking, where's the joy that all this was supposed to lead to? Well, you remember Jesus said, it says in the scripture that it was for the joy that was set before him that Jesus endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. There was no joy in the cross, but it was the joy that was set before him. It was the joy of knowing what he was about to achieve, what he was about to achieve through that work on the cross that held him up throughout it. It was what he was achieving. And it was by doing the will of the Father. That's what enabled him to see it through. And as we to seek to understand this way of the cross in our daily lives, we too will experience a joy in knowing that we are doing the will of the Father. Peter spoke of joy unspeakable. Amazing, isn't it? Lord, what you want me to do is tough, I can see that. Very difficult. I will have to say no to self, but there's real joy in knowing that this is your will and something that you are willing and doing in me. Just after Jesus said that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Well, we all know how that story ends, don't we? So the only question before us this morning is, will we put these hard sayings of Jesus into practice? Let's do it now. The Lord is right here, isn't he? By his Spirit. Let our whole attention for a few moments be taken up with an awareness of the presence of Jesus right here. He's with us by a Spirit. He's waiting just here to minister to each one of us. There was a man I was reading of who was much used by God in a previous generation. He once said that if we knew that the risen Lord was in the next room to us now, and we could hear him praying for us, we would have no fear if we had a million enemies against us. Well, the scripture tells us that Jesus is interceding for us now in heaven. The distance makes no difference. He's still there praying for us. Let's be still for a few moments and set aside any random thoughts. Just focus on the Lord himself. Focus on Jesus. Just sense him praying for us there. He's interceding for all the saints. Lord, will you speak to our inmost being concerning the issues facing us? And will you give us both the will and the power to act according to your good purpose? Lord, some of us will have decisions on our mind that we know we have to take. Will you grant us the will and the power to say, not my will, but yours be done? Give us the strength to carry that through. Some of us may be coping with those difficult relationships. In everyday life, we have to meet up with people we find it very difficult to get on with as we bring those people to mind. Lord, help us to experience your love, replacing any bitterness, any judgmental, critical attitudes. Many of us will have difficult questions continually arising in our minds. Lord, why have you brought that person into my life? Maybe it's a person not only that I find difficult to get on with, but maybe it's a person I find it's easy to get on with, but I don't quite understand why you put that person in my life. What do you want me to say to them? How do you want me to witness to that person? Maybe we're asking ourselves, Lord, why has this situation arisen in my life? I can't understand it. Deep in my heart, Lord, will you enable me to say, not my will, but yours, even when I don't understand it? Lord, it's the privilege of every child of God to experience the work of the Spirit in his heart, resolving these issues. Lord, may this be our experience as we take up our cross daily to follow you. Help us each day, Lord, as we set out on the day to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to carry your cross today, in the sense that whenever I have decisions to make, I'm going to say, not your will, but mine be done. Lord, I believe that in doing this, I'm going to experience a joy which is not possible in any other way. Joy unspeakable of knowing that I'm in your will, doing what you want me to do in your plan for my life. So Lord, will you be with each one of us as we face these various issues in our life? May this be our experience day by day. We ask this in your name. Amen. Now we're going to sing our final song today, which Thank you.